Let's rewind back to 2007. YouTube was still new, and streaming was rudimentary at best. In this era of online content, three types of videos went viral. First were the cute cat videos, which have kind of petered off, but still remain the boomer go-to description for what's on the internet. Second were videos of people doing something humiliating and having that video discovered and secretly uploaded behind their backs, like the Star Wars kid clip that I mentioned in my video on nostalgia a couple of weeks ago. And thirdly were the videos of people doing something dangerous. This was the Jackass MXC era after all. If you captured a faceplant on a skateboard or managed to record a car crash, don't send that shit to America's Funniest Home Videos, upload it to YouTube. A few early YouTubers noticed that you could manufacture that third type of content relatively easily, and channels showing off extreme wipeouts or whatever began to pop up. But once you've seen one rail grind nutshot, you've seen them all, and YouTubers began doing progressively more wacky, dangerous, or outlandish stunts for views. Which brings us to 2007, where the channel Jogwheel would begin its most well-known show. Is it a good idea to microwave this? The premise is simple. Take a random household object and microwave it until something happens. Sometimes the object just melts, sometimes there's a fire, sometimes there's electric sparks, and sometimes it explodes. You never really know what you're gonna get. Is it a good idea to microwave this was certainly an old guilty pleasure of mine from back in the day, but it eventually got old. If you knew anything about the object being microwaved, you could kinda predict what was gonna happen. Every food item does that distinctive, gross-smelling burn. Every electronics item sparks for a bit and then goes quiet. Every figurine melts into a puddle of goop. The series was bound to get samey, and even for an old fan of it like me, it becomes unwatchable long before you get through the 350 episode runtime. There are other, more modern YouTube channels cut from that same cloth, most notably How Ridiculous, where those guys went viral for throwing stuff off of a tall tower and seeing what happens to it when it hits the ground. It's got the same life cycle. It's captivating when you first discover it because, yes, I do in fact want to see what happens when you drop a wrecking ball onto a sheet of bulletproof glass from 50 meters up. But that kind of curiosity burns out real quick. At least the How Ridiculous guys kept their channel going by changing up the types of stunts that they were doing, instead of just giving up and dying like Jogwheel did. All of this is to say that doing something unique, wild, and potentially unsafe is one reliable formula for going viral online, and it has been for over 15 years now. From microwaving a car's airbag until it explodes back then, to dropping a bowling ball onto a trampoline and hoping it doesn't brain you right now. And there's always been people who have taken it too far, who have hurt themselves or died trying to do wild challenges. I've covered several of those on this channel before, but I think this is the first time I've ever seen somebody purposefully crash a plane for YouTube views. Have you ever heard of Trevor Jacob? Up until this event, his biggest claim to fame was as a professional snowboarder. He represented the United States in the 2014 Winter Olympics, finishing 9th place in snowboarding. He also competed in the 2014, 2015, and 2016 X Games, capping out at 5th place. Jacobs also dabbled in other sports, and was a professional stuntman for Nitro Circus, which is basically a less successful Jackass, though focusing more on professional stunts like skydiving or base jumping. Like his other endeavors, Trevor wasn't exactly front and center with Nitro Circus either. In fact, his entire resume is one of a competent stuntman and athlete, who nonetheless never actually took center stage. Trevor Jacobs' career can best be described as consistently second string. His YouTube channel has only slightly more subs than mine, with videos ranging from having less than 1,000 views to having millions of them. And his most successful video at 4 million views is titled "I Crashed My Airplane." The video is 12 minutes and 47 seconds long, beginning with Trevor Jacob taking off from the airport. He holds out a baggie during the ascent, calling it Johnny. Trevor's making this flight to spread the ashes of his friend, Johnny, though the video doesn't make that initially clear. At about a minute in the video, the engine of the plane appears to die. Trevor spends the next minute of the video cursing his situation, opening and closing the door in an attempt to work up the nerve to bail out from the plane.
Holy f***. I'm over the mountains and I f***ing out of engine out.
And then finally jumping with parachute and selfie stick in tow. On the ground, after working his way out of a thorn bush, Trevor Jacob explains that he had no place to land the plane after the engine died, and that he's going to try and hike out to the wreckage.
I guess I should probably document what's going on. I cut my finger pretty bad, got my elbow. I'm just so happy to be alive. I'm just kind of taking in what just happened. Well, where the hell am I gonna land a freaking plane? I'm gonna die. That's why I always freaking fly with a parachute.
When he gets there, he laments that the water he brought with him was destroyed.
Oh, holy smokes. Holy shit. Oh, there's literally nothing. No anything. No water. I had a water jug in the back. Oh my gosh, dude. I have no idea where I am.
He then spends the rest of the video, something like 9 hours, hiking back to civilization. He eventually emerges out onto an isolated country road and is luckily picked up by some farmers, where the camera captures him explaining the whole story.
I had an engine out in the mountains and there was nowhere to land. I always fly with a parachute and I'm like, I can either jump right now or take the chance of landing this thing, and I'm that, I'm out. And then as soon as I open the canopy and I'm under parachute, the plane came back around and almost hit me.
You have no idea how far back we are. You have really? No clue. Yeah.
I'm good. That was the gnarliest day of my life.
Where were you?
Holy shit. I've probably been walking 6, 7, 8 miles already.
Yeah, so
just in the river. I was probably 5 miles up in the hills. Dude, I almost fell off a cliff.
Very quickly, this video set off people's bullshit alarms. A ton of other pilots reacted to the video, using their own expertise to describe why, in their opinion, the video was staged. And they all pretty much touched on the same few points. One, the parachute. Trevor Jacob is wearing a skydiving parachute, one that you would use in extreme sports, not an emergency pilot's parachute that you'd see in a plane of this size. In fact, a skydiving parachute would be very uncomfortable to wear while flying this model of plane. Additionally, when he claims that he always flies wearing a parachute for this exact reason,
that's why I always freaking fly with a parachute. There was nowhere to land, I always fly with a parachute.
We know that's not true, as there are many other videos of him flying without a parachute on. Two, the plane's condition. As a layman, I don't know what's going on here, but a lot of pilots mention that this is a fuel line and that it should be more secured than it is. Having it dangle like this is not up to code. Additionally, if you're going to attach cameras to your wings, in order to keep the plane balanced, you have to have one on each side in roughly the same location. By balance here, I don't mean weight. A GoPro is not going to act like a boat anchor or anything like that. I mean aerodynamics. Trevor Jacob has 3 GoPros attached to the plane, 2 on the left wing and 1 on the left side of the tail, none on the right. Left when you're facing forward. Listen, I don't know what port or starboard means. 3. Trevor Jacob's behavior. Before the plane's engine supposedly fails, the door is already unlatched, almost as if he was prepping to jump out beforehand. We don't get to see what he says or does during the engine failure, nor do we get to see any of the plane's instrument readouts. He has his phone with him in the cockpit, and we see that view throughout the start of the video, but he never cuts back to his phone's feed until after he makes the decision to jump out of the plane. What we can see from the wing, though, is Trevor Jacob pulling on the yoke multiple times. This actually slows the plane down to stalling speed, which is why his propeller stops. If the engine had actually failed, and the plane continued at gliding speed, the wind would push the propeller on its own. But to make the video seem more dramatic, that propeller had to look like it was struggling and stopping, which is why Trevor Jacob is seen specifically making it do that. Jacob didn't radio to air traffic control that he was having an emergency. Additionally, as an experienced pilot, he would have known that an engine failure doesn't mean that the plane is going to crash. You can, in fact, glide a plane of this size for about 9 units of distance for every 1 unit of height, meaning that if he were hypothetically 1,000 meters up, he could glide for 9,000 meters without a working engine. Considering where he was, based on the location given in the official crash report, that is more than enough distance for him to glide his plane to the Santa Ynez Airport. And when he's on the ground, he spends extra time hiking out to the crash site of his plane instead of getting back to civilization. And we don't see him try to look for the plane's radio or the map, which the plane is legally required to carry. He might have just cut that stuff out, sure, but it really seems like he only hiked back to get his GoPros. That is what trained pilots notice when watching the video. I'm not a trained pilot, so I probably would have missed a lot of it. Though I did notice on my own the unlatched door and his strange behavior at the crash site. What I am, though, is a trained autist, and here's what I noticed on my own. When Trevor Jacob is in the middle of falling, you can see that he clearly has something strapped to his calf underneath his pants. Examining all the different angles, it looks to be a cylinder with a nozzle. That could be several things. It could be water, meaning that he knew he was going to be stuck in the wilderness for some time. He claims throughout his hike back to civilization that he's thirsty and dramatically drinks from a stream.
Yes. Yes. I see water.
I don't even care if it's mud.
There's fish in here. Tadpoles.
It's never felt so good
to see and taste water.
That could be staged for the camera. Or it could be a fire extinguisher, meaning he knew that he was going to crash the plane, and he intended to put out any fires that might have had the capability of becoming something bigger. We still don't know what he had up his sleeve, or his pant leg, but there is something weird there. Another YouTuber, Scooby1961, is probably the platform's oldest fitness channel. Scooby was posting his workouts to YouTube back in 2006. He's an old German guy with a funny voice and a pretty ripped physique, as a result of working out daily for about 40 years now. He's also the patron saint of 4chan's Fitboard, who he lovingly refers to as his special friends. Scooby's also an engineer and a pilot, who built his own plane from scratch, and he lives in the Southern California area like Trevor Jacob. So he made a video where he flew out over the Los Padres National Forest, the exact place and altitude that Trevor Jacob reported he was at the time of the engine failure, in order to ascertain two things. One, Scooby was checking to see if there were any places that Trevor Jacob could have made an emergency landing if, for some reason, he couldn't actually glide to the Santa Ynez Airport. Scooby noted that from roughly the same position that Trevor Jacob was when he bailed out of the plane, multiple areas of long, flat grassland were visible, prime landing targets, including the very same riverbed that Jacob hiked down to get out of the mountains. Scooby was also looking for the crash site, which he failed to find. He asked other people to inspect his footage since he couldn't spend all his time in the air looking around, and nobody else found the crash site either. Now, the crash happened on November 24th, 2021, and Scooby flew on January 5th, 2022, so it might have been cleaned up by the authorities by then, but we're going to see later that this was not the case. On the way back, Scooby returned to the same altitude and position that Trevor Jacob was in when he abandoned his plane again, set his airplane's engine at idle, and then glided to the Santa Ynez Airport to prove that it could be done, and it was an option that Trevor Jacob failed to utilize. Scooby's plane is roughly the same size and weight as Jacob's, making the comparison pretty spot on. As both the legal investigation and the community investigation ramped up, Trevor Jacob quietly edited his video using YouTube's built-in editing function. That's right, the video originally wasn't actually 12 minutes and 47 seconds long. It was 16 minutes and 41 seconds long. He removed two things. There was an additional ending bit where Jacob hikes back up the mountain with his paragliding gear to finally spread his friend's ashes while flying over the park.
Good morning from about 9,000 feet. We're just hiking up this ridgeline here and got the paraglider on my back. Got the wonderful Johnny Strange's ashes with us in my pocket. We're gonna hike to the top and spread some of those and paraglide off. Love you, Johnny! Johnny, let's have a great flight down, man.
What a morning!
I assume he deleted this because, guess what? Spreading ashes is generally illegal in California. More importantly though, he removed his plug for Ridge Wallet.
What's happening? How's it going? My name's Trevor Jacob. We are here at the end of the runway. I got my best friend, Johnny Strange's ashes with me. We are going to go paraglide off of one of his favorite mountains up in the Sierra Nevadas and spread some of those. So I'm super grateful he'll be joining us. Got to give a shout out to the Ridge Wallet. Thank you to the Ridge Wallet for sponsoring this video. It's in my pockets at all times, especially the lifestyle that I like to live. I like to keep things pretty minimal. I'm not just trying to sell you a product. This is something that I use every single day. I've tried to use rubber bands as wallets. I've tried to use duct tape wallets. I've tried to use big bulky wallets and none of them seem to work until I found the Ridge Wallet. So check out the link in my description. Go to ridge.com/Trevor to get 10% off at checkout, and you'll be stoked you did it.
Yes, he originally spent the start of the video explaining that he was about to go spread his friend's ashes by plane, which is why it kind of comes out of left field in the current live version of the video, and shortly afterward launched into a Ridge Wallet sponsorship spot, which, based on his channel size, I'd estimate that he probably got a four-figure payout for, plus anywhere between a 10 and 25% commission for anybody who bought a Ridge Wallet using his promo link. Geez, dude, I knew you were washed up, but I didn't think you were hurting so badly as to crash a plane for Ridge Wallet. Maybe they'll name the crash site Wallet Ridge. Of course, the reason he edited the video wasn't only to hide the evidence, but also because Ridge Wallet became aware of the shit show and didn't want their name attached to this mess. A local news outlet, the Santa Barbara Independent, published an article detailing their own findings. The plane was a Taylorcraft BL-64 from 1940, and it was in dire need of repair. Its registry number showed a Laura Smith from Lincoln, California as its owner for a long time, but shortly before the crash, the registry shows that the ownership changed hands to Trevor Jacob. Laura Smith had listed the plane on Barnstormers.com, an aviation marketplace, as being up for sale for parts only, as according to her, it was not flightworthy. Jacob housed the plane at a public hangar in Lompoc Airport in Santa Barbara, where workers there described to the Santa Barbara Independent that the plane was in need of major maintenance before it could fly, that Jacob attempted to fix the plane himself but struggled to do so, that Jacob was not an FAA-certified mechanic, and that such a mechanic would need to sign off on the plane before it would be legal to fly, and that the plane's logbook showed no such sign-off. After the crash, Jacob returned to the Lompoc Airport, where employees told him that the event had to be reported to the FAA. However, instead of reporting it, Jacob chartered a friend's helicopter service to remove the wreckage from the forest and transport it to an unknown location. In response to all this media attention, Jacob simply said this: "I'll happily say that I did not purposely crash my plane for views on YouTube. Given my background, I can see why people would think that, as I've been filming everything I do since I was 5 years old. People can believe whatever they choose." It's at this point that the internet largely forgot about the story. New information stopped coming out, the news cycle moved on, you know how it is. But in April of 2022, the FAA released their findings, determining that, in their opinion, Jacob had indeed abandoned his airplane mid-flight solely for YouTube views. All the evidence seemed to point in that direction. There was no evidence of legitimate engine failure. The fact that his door was open before the engine failed, the lack of any attempt to contact air traffic control, or perform an emergency landing, or even to just try and restart the engine. The FAA revoked his pilot's license for 1 year, stating that his flight was careless enough to endanger life or property. And that does seem to be the case. Though ultimately the flight did just harmlessly drift into the forest, with its altitude, direction, and glide ratio, the plane could have drifted into Santa Ynez all on its own. Even if there wasn't any significant gliding, the area the plane flew over is littered with campgrounds, hiking trails, and forest ranger stations. This stunt could have resulted in injuries or deaths. The reason I'm talking about this now is because a few days ago, Trevor Jacob finally pleaded guilty to the felony charge of obstructing a federal investigation, and he now faces 20 years in prison. He took this as part of a plea deal where all of the other charges he was facing would be dropped. The obstruction charge he faces is in reference to Jacob hiding the plane. He admitted to the authorities that he and his helicopter-owning friend airlifted the wreck to the forest outside of Rancho Sisquoc, where he loaded it onto a trailer, hid it in a private hangar back in the Lompoc Airport, and undercover cut the airplane into various smaller pieces and disposed of them around California, while telling investigators at the time he had no idea where the plane had gone. Here's the funniest bit, though. Trevor Jacob also revealed his motive, and it wasn't specifically for YouTube views or going viral on the internet, though those things were essential to his plan. His ultimate goal was, in fact, to make money off of Ridge Wallet commissions. He unironically crashed a plane for Ridge Wallet money. This is the second video I've done this now, but I do actually like the Ridge Wallet, and I'm not sponsored by them. So hey, Ridge Wallet, toss me a few dollars. I can at least promise that I won't crash a plane in your name. What do you have to lose? Trevor Jacob is the archetypal washed-up minor celebrity who never quite made it, and in my opinion, I think it got to him. He was an also-ran at the Olympics and also-ran at the X Games, he was a backgrounder in Nitro Circus, and his YouTube channel has about as much traction as mine does, and I'm just a fat nobody from bumfuck Canada. I think Jacob always envisioned his career going in a different direction, and as the years started to pile on and he began to realize that he was never really taking center stage, he began chasing YouTube stardom, and the money that comes with it, by posting continuously more extreme content. But now, the only thing he's going to be remembered for is being that one retard YouTuber who crashed a plane for clicks. I just hope it was worth it to sit in jail for the next 20 years.
Thank you, God. Thank you, universe. Thank you, higher power.
Thank you to the Ridge Wallet.